Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 5. The preacher's main business is prayer, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. You know the value of prayer. It is precious beyond all price. Never, never neglect it. Sir Thomas Buxton. Prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to a minister. Pray, then, my dear brother, pray, pray, pray. Edward Payson. Prayer in the preacher's life, in the preacher's study, and in the preacher's pulpit must be a conspicuous and all-encompassing force and an eye-catching feature. It must play no secondary part or be a mere coding. The preacher is given the duty to be with his Lord all night in prayer. To train himself in self-denying prayer, he is charged to look to his master who, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed there. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The preacher's study ought to be a closet, a Bethel, an altar, a vision, and a ladder, so that every thought might ascend heavenward before it goes manward, and every part of the sermon might carry the fragrance of heaven because God was in the study. As the engine never moves until the fire is kindled, so preaching, with all its machinery, perfection, and polish, is at a dead standstill as far as spiritual results are concerned until prayer has kindled and created the steam. The texture, fineness, and strength of the sermon are rubbish unless the mighty impulse of prayer is in it, through it, and behind it. The preacher must move God by prayer toward the people before he can move the people to God by his words. The preacher must have had audience and ready access to God before he can have access to the people. Let him come boldly unto the throne of his grace, that he may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. An open way to God for the preacher is the surest pledge of an open way to the people. It is necessary to iterate and reiterate that prayer as a mere habit or performance rendered by routine or in a professional way is a dead and rotten thing. Such praying has no connection with the praying for which we plead. We are stressing true praying that engages and sets on fire every high element of the preacher's being and is born in vital oneness with Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It springs from the deep, overflowing fountains of tender compassion and unending concern for man's eternal good, and depicts a thorough conviction of the preacher's difficult and delicate work and the imperative need of God's mightiest help. Praying grounded on these solemn and profound convictions is the only true praying. Preaching backed by such praying is the only preaching that sows the seed of eternal life in human hearts and builds men up for heaven. There may be popular preaching, pleasant preaching, and preaching of much intellectual, literary, and brainy force with its measure and form of good, with little or no praying. But the preaching that secures God's end must be born of prayer, delivered with the energy and spirit of prayer, followed, developed, and kept in vital force in the hearts of the hearers by preachers' prayers, long after the occasion has passed. We may excuse the spiritual poverty of our preaching in many ways, but the true secret will be found in the lack of urgent prayer for God's presence in the power of the Holy Spirit. There are innumerable preachers who can deliver masterful sermons, but the effects are short-lived and do not enter as a factor into the regions of the Spirit where the fearful war between God and Satan, heaven and hell, is being waged because they are not made powerfully militant and spiritually victorious by prayer. The preachers who gain mighty results for God are the men who have prevailed in their pleadings with God before venturing to plead with men. The preachers who are the mightiest in their closets with God are the mightiest in their pulpits with men. They understand the writer of James who said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives abundantly to all and without reproach, and it shall be given to them." James chapter 1, verse 5. Preachers are mere humans who are exposed to and often caught by the strong drifting of human progress. Praying is spiritual work, and human nature does not like taxing spiritual work. Human nature wants to sail to heaven under a favoring breeze on a full, smooth sea. Prayer is humbling work. It disparages intellect and pride, crucifies vainglory, and signs our spiritual bankruptcy. All these are hard for flesh and blood to bear. It is easier not to pray than to bear this work. So we come to one of the crying evils of these times, maybe of all times, little or no praying. Of these two evils, perhaps little praying is worse than no praying. Little praying is a kind of make-believe, a salve for the conscience, a farce, and a delusion. The little value we put on prayer is evident from the little time we give to it. The time given to prayer by the average preacher scarcely counts in the sum of the daily total. Frequently, the preacher's only praying is by his bedside at night as he is ready for bed and soon to be in it, and perhaps the addition of a few hasty snatches of prayer before he is dressed in the morning. How feeble, vain, and little is such praying compared to the time and energy devoted to praying by holy men in and out of the Bible. How poor and barren our petty, childish praying is compared to the habits of the true men of God in all ages. God commits the keys of his kingdom to men who think praying is their main business and devote time to it according to this high estimate of its importance. Scripture. And the Lord said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made in my presence. I have sanctified this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there all the days." 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. By them he works his spiritual wonders in this world. Great praying is the sign and seal of God's great leaders and the earnest of the conquering forces with which God will crown their labors. The preacher is commissioned to pray as well as to preach. His mission is incomplete if he does not do both well. The preacher may speak with all the eloquence of men and of angels, but unless he can pray with a faith that draws all heaven to his aid, his preaching will be as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal for permanent, God-honoring, soul-saving uses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1.
With great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way. Oh, how praying rests the weary, prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Rest the weary, prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary,